Welcome back to the Inside Pass, News 24's daily dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. My name is Lloyd Bernard and I'm joined in our Cape Town studios once again by Herman Mostert. Morning, Herman.
Morning, Lloyd. How are you?
Good, thank you very much. They say, Herman, no news is good news. We are now on Tuesday, 11 o'clock, and still no sighting on Jesse Creel following Sunday's Rugby World Cup clash between the Springboks and Scotland. An ominous-looking head hit on Scotland number 8, Dempsey. And, yeah, no sighting so far from what you've seen, Hammond. Are we in the clear here?
Yeah, it looks like it. I think you could maybe argue that the Boks were a bit lucky that he wasn't sighted. We saw Tom Curry being sent off with a red card on the weekend for a pretty similar thing, so... But we heard Rassie speak yesterday and saying that he thought the initial contact was on the ball and then there was a bit of a movement upwards, so that should serve as enough mitigation. And obviously he didn't even receive a yellow card in the game, so obviously the sighting official didn't deem that it was necessary to take the matter further. So luckily for him and for the Springboks.
Yeah, early calls going the way of the Boks. One man who wasn't happy about it was Scotland coach Gregor Townsend, and perhaps understandably so. Already one game week into the tournament, issues around consistency in officiating coming to the surface. We now are in a little bit of a break for a couple of days. The action resumes on Thursday when France play against Uruguay. The Springboks next in action on Sunday when they play against Romania in Bordeaux in a 3 p.m. kickoff. It's actually a bigger game than some might think, because, you know, while the Springboks will be expected to win that one relatively comfortably, there is still the possibility, mathematically at least, of all of Ireland, Scotland and South Africa finishing on the same log points in their pool. And points difference perhaps down the line is something you want to take care of. Do you think that'll be a factor at all in South Africa's minds going into this game?
It could be. I don't think they'll pay too much attention on it. They'll just probably be banking on them winning all their matches and finishing top of the pool. I think they'll be pretty confident in doing that. But like you said, it could potentially happen if the Boks were to lose to Ireland and Scotland end up beating Ireland. You know, you could have a scenario where all three teams finish at the top, and then it becomes a mini battle between those three teams, the log points obtained in the games that those teams played against each other. And if it's level again, then they look at points difference. Ireland obviously thrashed Romania 82-8 on the weekend, so the Springboks will have to do really well to get a better points differential than that. You know, they obviously have to get close to probably putting 100 points on Romania, which would obviously not be that easy to do. But yeah, look, I mean, I don't think it's something that's at the top of their minds at the moment, no.
Yeah, we won't be joined by Kaniso Chwaku today, unfortunately. He's on a ferry currently on the way to Springbok training, where he's hoping to get some team news for us ahead of the weekend. We obviously would expect wholesale changes in a game like this, as we saw in 2019 when the Springboks played some of the smaller sides in their pool. And this game week in particular really has a lot of those fixtures where, you know, you've got powerhouse nations up against some of the smaller ones. You know, you've got France, Uruguay, New Zealand, Namibia, Wales, Portugal, Ireland, Tonga, South Africa, Romania, Australia, Fiji, obviously on Sunday is the big one, given Fiji's performance over the weekend. That's the one that people will be looking to with a lot of interest. But with those wholesale changes in mind, let's try and get inside of the heads of Rassie and Jacques here. I mean, a lot of the changes, you know, you would expect to come seem pretty obvious on the surface. But what we're going to do, we've got our 33-man Springbok squads in front of us, and we're going to go through and look at, you know, the kind of direction that Rassie and Jacques might go in, Herman. I know we've got a couple of differences here down the line, but I mean, fullback, given the fact that he started on the bench against Scotland, you would expect Willie Larue to come straight back in at number 15 for this?
Yeah, look, I think they would be looking to give him some game time. I think there's also maybe a plan of moving Damien Willemse to fly half, and I know Rassie and Jock are quite keen on having Damien getting some game time at fly half. So I wouldn't be surprised if Willy comes in at fullback and maybe Damien moving to fly half with Marnie Lubbock maybe on the bench. Although you could argue that Marnie would need game time, not necessarily playing time, but more goal kicking time. You know, it could be a perfect match for him to build some confidence kicking at goal, because you would assume that there would be quite a number of opportunities for him to kick at goal, as you would expect the box to score quite a number of tries. So, but Willy is obviously the only other option that they could pick at fullback. So you'd expect him to play on Saturday. Sunday, sorry.
Yeah. It's an interesting one if you look at fly half, because, you know, I agree. I think, you know, Marnie Lubbock coming clearly in some very good form with ball in hand in terms of his distribution, in terms of his, you know, game management and being the general that Sia Khaleesi referred to him as after the Scotland game. And I suppose a couple of these selections as we go down will be around, you know, how do you balance that between, you know, giving a guy a break, but also continuing with that momentum? I mean, in a game like this, Marnie would surely rack up, you know, loads of points with the boot, lots of kicks at goal, as you say, that he had knockover from right in front. I mean, that could potentially do a lot for his confidence. I guess, what would be the benefit in resting Marnie for this and playing Damien Willemse at 10? Is it about just finding more depth at fly half as the tournament progresses, or, you know, do you think there'll be a temptation to just, you know, play Marnie again and just keep that momentum going and his international experience growing?
I think it's more about probably about building depth in that position, or maybe not depth, but building game minutes in that position, giving Damien a chance there. I mean, you know, you can't expect Marnie to play every single minute of every single game, and potentially seven matches that they would play in order to win the tournament. If they get to the final, it'd be seven matches. You can't expect him to play at fly half for all of those matches and for 80 minutes of those matches. So it would just, you know, to give them more of an option. You know, obviously there's Hunter Pollard is not part of the squad. So
yeah.
So you would think in that way, this game is a perfect opportunity for Damien to be tried out at number 10. And I've got a feeling that that's the way they'll go. Could be wrong, but that would be the reasoning, or my reasoning.
Yeah. So we've jumping around a bit, where we've got Willy Leroux back in at 15, Damien Willemse starting at 10 with Marnie Lubbock out for a rest this weekend. Let's go to the wings, Herman. I mean, you would expect Makazole Mapimpi to come in and be given a run at number 11, and then I guess it's between Kirtley Arendse or Cheslin Kolbe. But I mean, given Cheslin Kolbe and his, you know, value to the BOC team, I mean, you want to wrap him in cotton wool wherever you can. So potentially Mapimpi and Arendse on the wings for the Bucks?
That's how I would have it as well. I don't think it's worth playing Cheslin in this game. He's you know, like you said, you know, they need to wrap him in cotton wool. He's a player that has struggled a little bit with injury of late, and he's a frontline player. He's gonna, you want him in your starting team when it's a knockout game. So I wouldn't pick him here in this game, not even on the bench. Kurt Lee is still young player, you know, he's I don't think he's the type of player that wouldn't have a problem playing almost every week of the tournament, and so you'd expect him to play. And then Makazole Mapimpi on the left wing, he's obviously been a bit unlucky. You know, he didn't do an awful lot wrong in the last 4 years. You know, he's obviously a World Cup winner from Japan in 2019, and he's just been an, you know, it's been unfortunate for him that there's players that have come up who have played really well and really have taken their chances and sort of produced X-factor performances. And that's basically the reason why he's not certain of a place in the starting team at the moment. But this game, considering it's Romania, you would think that they would pick him there for this one.
Yeah, it's difficult to fathom, really, you know, when you think about what Makazole Mapimpi has contributed to Springbok rugby since 2019. And at no stage, really, have you ever got the feeling that he's lost form, right? I mean, he's never really let his performance drop. Perhaps I think there were one or two little fitness concerns during the URC era, you know, at the Sharks, I think, wasn't there, where he was battling for fitness once or twice. But I mean, outside of that, in a Bok jersey, never really ever let the national team down. You know, performance after performance, still just a lethal finisher with great pace and finishing ability. And then obviously contests in the air very well, which is crucial to the Bok game plan. But like you say, you know, when you're up against guys like Kurtley Arendse and Kane and Moody coming in with games on the wing, doing what they're doing, and then your other guy out there is Cheslin Kolbe, who is, you know, the most destructive attacker in world rugby, you suddenly find yourself having done nothing wrong and being the kind of fourth, you know, wing in the pecking order. I mean, it's just a bizarre story, but we do expect to see Mapimpis coming back in for the weekend, and no doubt, you know, I mean, geez, between him and Kurtley Arendse, if they do start on the wings, I mean, there could be some big numbers in terms of tries scored in this one. If we move to the midfield, I suppose, you know, one of the big selection points over the next day or two will be around Kane and Moody, and whether or not he is fit enough to start, and you would expect him to start on the number 13 jersey.
Yeah, look, he obviously struggled a bit with his hamstring, and that's why he wasn't considered against Scotland. He played really well against New Zealand at outside centre, so that's why I think they'll pick him there again. I think that we gave them an extra option of showing the coaches that he's not only a winger, he can play at centre as well in midfield. And I've got a feeling he's going to play more tests in there than he would at wing. So I think they're going to try him there. And possibly to partner Andre Esterhazen again, who also played again really well against the All Blacks. You know, it was a tough decision to drop him essentially for the Scotland game in favour of Damien Dalene, who's also, you know, a guy that's been there and done the business. And that was sort of just a bit of maybe a horses for courses decision from the coaching staff. But yeah, Esterhazen, you know, you would expect him to start alongside Moody, and that would be a daunting task, I think, for the Romanian players.
Yeah. Well, the word from Trux, you know, in France earlier in the week, or towards the end of last week rather, was that Kane and Moody was running around training and looking okay. So we would expect him to have gotten over that niggle from last weekend. Obviously will be an exciting selection. Hammer, what do you think it is? I mean, this Damien Dialendi versus Andre Esterhazen selection, we can see it in the comment section, you know, on our stories and News 24 readers. It certainly emerged as a huge talking point among our readers. What do you think it is about Damien in the eyes of Rassie and Jacques that kind of keeps him ahead of Esterhazen in that selection? Because as good as Esterhazen's been, you know, the kind of thinking has been quite clear from Jacques and Rassie that Damien's the guy, you know, given everything he's done over the last 4 years. What do you think it is technically that they see in him that gives him the edge over Andre?
Well, firstly, not necessarily technically, but I think his experience counts for a lot. He's played an awful lot more tests than Andre, and he's obviously won the World Cup 4 years ago. But from a technical perspective, there's not an awful lot of difference between the two. You know, they're very both big, strong players. Both can take the ball up, and they can attack the line. You know, they're not afraid to take it up. They're both big players, strong players. Both are very solid on defense. They're always very similar players to me, but I think Esterhazen, in a way, almost for me, has in the last year, I think since he went to England, when he left the Sharks, he's added a different dimension to his play. He's not only a basher that takes it up. He's got great offloading abilities. You know, he's almost got developed a little bit of an eye for a gap. You know, he's not the type of player who's just going to run straight into the opponent anymore. So in a way, you know, he adds maybe an extra dimension than what Damien adds at the moment. But I think it's a World Cup. Experience is vital. They know what they get from Damien. Damien fits perfectly into the game plan that they want to play. It's the Bok. They don't play a high risk game plan, and Damien just fits into that, and I think that's probably the reason why they went for him. You know, there's not a big difference between the two, and it's a great option to have both of those guys in your squad.
Yeah. if we accept that Damian Willemse plays fly half, let's move to the scrum half selection for Romania. I think Faf de Klerk out, you know, we can rule him out of selection completely for this one. But it does leave you with an interesting dynamic because of the fact that the box took four scrum halves to Rugby World Cup 2023. The two players who didn't feature against Scotland were Kobus Reinach and Jaden Hendricks. But Grant Williams really only got a handful of minutes in that game. So, you know, if you're talking about minutes played and if he is going to be the backup number nine in the big games at the World Cup, then surely you would want to use this as an opportunity to get him some more minutes under the belt. But then if you do that, you have a scrum off one of Kobus Reinach or Jaden Hendricks, who wouldn't have featured at all in the opening 2 weekends. Which way would you go here, Herman?
Look, because they picked four scrum offs in the squad, it wouldn't make sense to go a whole World Cup without, well, maybe two of them never playing. So I understand your point in saying that Grant Williams didn't get a lot of game time against Scotland, so you would like to see a bit more of him. But I don't think that's the route that they would go. I think they're going to go with Jaden and Kobus Reinach. With Jaden possibly starting and Reinach on the bench. Reinach is a great impact player. He showed he can come on and play on the wing as well, as he did against New Zealand in that warm-up game. So I think that's the route that they're going to go, but simply because of maybe the fact that they picked these four scrum-offs, and it would make sense for them to play against Romania and maybe the Tonga match at the final pool game against Tonga. So there will be other opportunities for Williams to play more later in the tournament. I mean, you would expect the Ireland game, Faf obviously to come back for the Ireland game, but Williams maybe getting a bit more game time. I think the Ireland game would be a bit closer than the Scotland game, and maybe the X factor that Williams brings is going to be vital in, say, the last half an hour against Ireland. So I think they're going to go with Jaden and Kobus Reinach for this game.
There you go. So if we go 15, Willie LaRue, 14, Kirtley Orenser, 13, Kane Moody, 12, Andre Esterhazen, 11, Makazole Mpimpi, 10, Damian Willemse, 9, you have Jaden Hendricks, with Kobus Reinach on the bench. That's our backline sorted. Let's go to the pack. Let's start at number 8, where, you know, I was thinking, again, you know, we were talking about momentum. I mean, Jasper Visa, who was pretty good against Scotland, you know, and that has been an area of perhaps the slightest concern in the build-up to the World Cup. His form seemed to have dipped a bit before the start of the competition. I thought maybe, you know, Jasper Visa for another game here against Romania just to show his dominance. But you've got Dwayne coming in.
I would pick Dwayne, yes. And I think Dwayne maybe to be the captain. I'm not sure if that's the route they're going to go, but I would pick him at number 8. Yes, Jasper played really well, but I think the fact that they picked Jasper for the first game against Scotland and him playing so well, I think he's probably now got that number 8 starting role slotted in the first team. And in the first team, obviously, the team that's going to play against Ireland the next week. So I would have Dwayne at number 8 and captaining the team. Obviously, they should rest. You'd expect them to rest Sia completely for this match as well. You know, he's still only recently recovered from a knee injury. So, yeah, that would be my option at number 8. They could go another route. I don't know if that's what you were thinking, maybe.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, I mean, look, you'd expect Quagga Smith and Marco van Staden to come in and play in that loose trio. You know, I was thinking maybe Visa 8, Quagga Smith 7, Marco van Staden 6. You know, the interesting selection in this pack is going to be around Dion Ferry, because he could potentially play 6, but we're also hearing out of France that Dion Ferry could do, I guess, the opposite of a Skulk Brits and play hooker against Romania. You'll remember in 2019, Skulk Brits, you know, started at number 8 in a pool match against Namibia, in which he also captained, which was quite an out-the-box selection. But there is that kind of feeling around Dion Ferry. You know, the Springboks didn't take a third-choice hooker specialist to the tournament. And Dion Ferry, obviously a very capable number two. So some of the, you know, trucks chatting to him, that is the word out of the camp at the moment, that Dion Ferry is actually going to start at hooker in this game, which would open up another spot in that loose trio. And that's what I think Marco van Staden in six, Quacker Smith seven, Jasper Visa eight. But do you think Dion Ferry would handle playing number two in this game?
He would handle it. I think he started his career playing more of a hooker than, and then only later on he started shifting to flank. So he's more than capable of playing there. I would personally pick him at number six just because he's been so good there this season, the last two, three seasons for the Stormers. But the talks are, it seems that there could be a possibility that he could play at hooker. And, you know, if that's the case, then and Jasper Visser stays at number eight, as you've mentioned, then the captaincy issue comes up again, and Dion could then possibly even be named captain for this match. And he obviously, a couple of weeks back when we played Argentina in a warm-up game in Buenos Aires, when Bongi Mbonambi was the captain to start with, but he went off later, and later in the game, Dion became the captain. So he has a bit of experience of captaining the box. So it's not a far-fetched scenario, actually, which it could actually happen. And I don't think they'll have any problems with that. It's just, just a matter of whether you pick Dwayne Vermeulen or Jasper Visser at number eight. Obviously, if Dwayne is picked to start, then he's going to captain the team, you would assume. So, but interesting viewpoints.
I suspect Dwayne Vermeulen captain is the way that this will end up going, and Dion Ferry, potentially starting at number two. Look, in the second row, there's just simply no way Eben Etzebeth gets anywhere near this matchday squad. Just absolutely no need for that. He's been ruled out with a shoulder injury and obviously needs to recover for Ireland. And you'd expect them to rest Achia Snyman as well, which would leave Jean Klein and Marvin Orie as your two starting locks for Romania. Yes. Jean Klein, though, of course, with a little bit of an injury concern ahead of Scotland.
Yeah, Marvin Orie has been put up in for today's press conference that the Springboks are holding, so you would expect him to play. They wouldn't put a player up in the press box if he's not going to play on the weekend. So I think we can expect Marvin to start, and then hopefully John Klein struggled a bit with his knee in the build up to the Scotland game, so there's maybe still some doubt whether he's going to be fit or not. But if he is past fit, then you would expect him to play. Obviously, a guy like Franco Mostert is also there, who's a versatile player that can come in at lock, or he can cover the loose trio as well. So, but I'm hoping for a Jean Klein Marvin Orie combo, which would be a pretty decent one, I think.
If we look at our props, Herman, I mean, look, Stephen Kitsoff, Frans Malhaber, you would expect them to have a rest.
Yes.
Oxenchair, Vincent Koch, perhaps 1-3. Trevor Nyakane, also an option. How do you think they're going to be thinking there?
Geez, Ox and Trevor and Bongi, those three who came on, when they came on against Scotland, they were even better than the guys who started. I mean, they, early in the second half, the box completely blew the Scotland scrum away. And as the second half wore on, it just got better and better and better. So I think those Ox and Trevor deserve maybe to start a game, even though it is only Romania. So I think maybe they'll go that route. And obviously, Vincent Koch is also in the squad, so maybe you can pick him on the bench and maybe give him a half. Maybe he'll come on at halftime and give him some game time there as well. So, I mean, they've got options. But I think Ox and Trevor played so well. I mean, you could just imagine they're going to destroy the Romanian pack in the scrums especially.
Yeah. No, it's very difficult to see Romania mounting too much of a challenge in this one, regardless of what team the box field, you know, given that incredible depth that South Africa has. The team is announced tomorrow evening. That's Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. News 24 Sport will be bringing you all of that breaking news as it comes out. Kaniso Traku on the ground for us in France tomorrow on the Inside Pass. We'll be taking some questions from the listeners and readers on News 24. Rugby World Cup is in full swing, and we've had so many comments and questions coming through on our stories. Please keep those coming in. We'll be fielding some of those towards Kaniso tomorrow and getting some feedback to some of those questions and comments from the man on the ground in France himself. Also, don't forget to visit News24 Sports Special Rugby World Cup site, the Rugby World Cup Zone. Everything is there. The pools, the logs, the fixtures, top stories, news, team profiles, player profiles. You can find it all in one hub, the Rugby World Cup Zone on News24. This has been the Inside Pass. Thank you very much for joining us. All the best. I'm not afraid to